But we look at a few verses in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14. We'll read from verse 12 to 16. And I'd like to see in these verses if we can see together a picture of the local assembly. Now, I don't see pictures of the local assembly everywhere in Scripture, but I think we have a very nice picture here before us. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And the Lord will bless his word to us. This is, of course, the place where the Lord met with his disciples, where they celebrated the Passover for the last time. It's where the Lord's Supper was instituted. And it's where we have the teaching that's given to us in John's Gospel, chapter 13 and 14. I would judge that when we come into chapter 15, they had left the upper room by that point in time. But certainly it's a place where the Lord met with his own. And it's a place where the Lord's Supper took place. It's a place where he taught his disciples that crucial teaching that they needed at that time. And so I don't think it's much of a stretch to see it as a picture of the local assembly. I'd like to just make a few comments in relation to the Passover and in relation to the Lord's Supper. The Passover was, of course, an Old Testament feast. And the Lord's Supper is a New Testament supper. But there's certain similarities that we find. The Passover, there was, as they commemorated it each year, there was a sense in which it looked back. It looked back to their deliverance from Egypt. You all know the account in Exodus chapter 12 of when the Passover took place for the first time. And it would remind them of that lamb that was slain and the deliverance that they received from the land of Egypt. And so there was a backward look as we consider the Passover. But as well, the Passover had a forward look. Likely, most of the Jews would not recognize that. But it spoke to us of, it was at that time one that was to come. And so when we come into 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we read in verses 6 to 8, Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so the feast of Passover and linked with it the feast of unleavened bread was a picture of that which was to come. And so would speak to us, the Passover lamb would speak to us of course, of the Lord Jesus. So there was a backward look, and there was a forward look. When we come to the Lord's Supper, there's a backward look. We're told to remember. We do so in remembrance of Him. And it would take us back to Calvary. The emblems, the bread and the cup would remind us of His body that was given and His blood that was shed, a backward look. But as well, there's a forward look. It's until He come. And so what took place there in the upper room shortly after the verses that we've read together, the Lord celebrates the Passover for the last time and introduces the Lord's Supper for the first time. The Passover, of course, was a feast that was to take place once a year. The Lord's Supper, I believe the scriptural pattern is that it would take place every week on the first day of every week. That certainly seems to be the pattern that was carried out in the book of Acts as the disciples met together to break bread on the first day of the week. And so just a few thoughts in introducing these verses as a picture of the local assembly. It's at the local assembly that we're to remember the Lord in the breaking of bread. And it's in the local assembly that the Lord meets with His own in a unique and special way. For where two or three are gathered together in My name, that is the thought of having been and being gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. It's in the local assembly that there's to be teaching given that would be necessary for the growth and the blessing of the Lord's people. And so let's take a look then at these verses that are before us. I want us to think of the attitude of the disciples here in verse 12 and the desire that they had. We read, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, His disciples said unto Him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?" I want us to notice the desire that the disciples had, that they might find the place that the Lord desired for them, that He might eat the Passover. And so there's an emphasis on the Lord Jesus, on the person of Christ. And there's an emphasis on seeking His will and His mind in finding the right place that they eat the Passover together. And I'm reminded of the words of Colossians 1 and 18, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And certainly when it comes to the local assembly, the predominant thought ought to be that Christ has the first and the foremost place. And I trust that it's the desire of each of our hearts that we might know where He wants us to be. And so we find that they had the right attitude. They didn't always have the right attitude. We can recall times when they struggled between themselves who was going to be the greatest. And they wanted to be given the place of prominence themselves, to be seated at His right hand. But here, their desire was to do His will and to find the place that He wanted them to be. And so in verse 13, we have instructions that He gave to them. "And He sendeth forth two of His disciples and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him." Simple instructions. They were to go into the city. Now, it was only fairly recently that I noticed this fact, that when they went into the city, they weren't to look for the man bearing the pitcher of water. He would find them. Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. And so the simple instruction was to go into the city. And when you go into the city, the man will find you. Now this would be a very unusual sight, a man carrying a pitcher of water. You would see lots of women bearing a pitcher of water, but it would be highly unusual to see a man bearing a pitcher of water. And so there would be no doubt and no question in their mind when this man came to them with a pitcher of water that this is the man that the Lord spoke to them of. And their simple instruction was, follow him. Now I believe we have a thought in Scripture of unnamed servants being a picture to us of the Holy Spirit. When we come into Luke's Gospel, there's the account of the parable that the Lord gives of the man that made a great supper and bade many to the supper, and he sent his servant out at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And I think there we have a picture of the Holy Spirit in relation to the gospel, calling men and women and boys and girls to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Come, for all things are now ready. And so that's one aspect of the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to the gospel. While the message is preached by men on a platform, it's the Spirit of God that's at work, inviting and calling men and women and boys and girls to trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. When we go into our Old Testament, Genesis chapter 24, there we have Abraham sending his servant to find a bride for his son Isaac. And again, we have an unnamed servant. And I believe this is a picture of the Holy Spirit finding a bride for God's Son, for the Lord Jesus. And those of us that are saved, we're privileged to be a part of that bride. But here we have an unnamed servant again. And here's a man bearing a pitcher of water. And so if the man is a picture to us of the Holy Spirit, then I believe the pitcher of water would be a picture of the Word of God. And we find that in Scripture, the washing of water by the Word. And so we see the man and the pitcher, and the two are inseparable. Wherever the man went, and wherever they followed the man, he was carrying the pitcher of water. The two went hand in hand. And so the Spirit of God takes up the Word of God, and that's how he teaches us. And that's how we're to follow. We're to follow what the Spirit of God would, the way in which he would guide us through the Word of God. And incidentally, it's not anything I could prove from Scripture, but I just wondered if that pitcher of water that he carried was not, if he wasn't carrying the water that was put into the basin that the Lord Jesus used there in the upper room. That again is a picture of the Word of God. Just a sort of a by-the-way thought. But we see the Spirit of God and the Word of God, and they're to follow him. And that's the simple instruction for us. And God has not made it difficult for us. There would have been a crowded place, the city of Jerusalem, at this time of Passover and unleavened bread. It would have likely been difficult if they had been asked to find the man. But the man would find them, and they were to follow him. God has not made it difficult for us. But if our attitude is right, and we have the attitude that the disciples had, of desiring to find the place, and they were anxious to do the will of Christ, and to see that he had the central place, that It was the place where he would eat the Passover with his disciples. And so they were simply to follow the man. And further instructions were, and wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? I think all through this account, there's an emphasis on the place. And so they go in, and where is the guest chamber? It's described here. It's a place where a guest would stay and be refreshed. And that's certainly where one aspect of what an assembly ought to be, a place of refreshment for the people of God. And so if the Spirit of God, or if the man is a picture to us of the Spirit of God, I would take it that the goodman of the house is a picture to us of God. He would have been the owner of this room, this place, where the disciples were to eat the Passover. And yes, the local assembly, it's not our assembly, but it's God's assembly. It belongs to him. But it's a place that he has provided for his people. A place of refreshment. A place of rest. And so, again, we have the place. But when we come into verse 15, and this is primarily what I'd like us to look at this morning, or this afternoon, I guess it is now, we see some of the characteristics of the place. He will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And so I want us to think and make some applications of the description that we have of this room that was provided for them. He will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. And so the first thing we're told about this room is that it was a large room. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, people have the idea that the local assembly is kind of a small, narrow place. That there's no room to do this and room to do that, but it's a restrictive kind of place. But, you know, when we have the right perspective on things, it's a large place. In the local assembly, as we follow the Word of God, and if we gather as God would have us to gather, it's a place where there's room for all the Word of God. It's a place where there's room for the Holy Spirit to work. I would judge that there's room for all the people of God who are willing to bow to the authority of the Lord. Sometimes I've heard the expression, and I don't like it, that, you know, so-and-so is not assembly material. Well, it's not the way the Lord would have it. I believe that God has given us one place in His Word. And I'm not saying that it has to have the name Gospel Hall on it. But he's given us instruction as to how we should gather. And there's one place that it ought to be, a place that is following the principles laid down in the New Testament and how we ought to gather. And that's a large place. Room for all the people of God willing to bow to the Word of God and the Lordship of Christ. It's a place where there's room for the exercise of spiritual gift. It's not a place that is run by one man, as it were, where he does everything. But there's place for whatever spiritual gift you might have, brother or sister. There's room for the exercise of spiritual gift in the local assembly. And it's a place where there's room for the practice of the priesthood of all believers. And it's a place where there's true liberty, which is not license. It's different than license. And so I trust that we have the idea in our minds that the assembly is a large place. When we see it from God's perspective, He's given us everything that we need for our spiritual blessing and growth in the local assembly. It's a large place. But then we read that it's an upper room. And here we have the thought that it's above the level of the street. It's not at street level, it's an upper room. And I'm reminded of the fact that we have been called to holiness. The world around us, street level, is a very unholy place. That Peter would remind us in his first epistle, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or conduct, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." And so we're called to a different standard than the world around us. It's an upper room. It's a place where holiness ought to characterize His people. And so there are certain things that should not creep into the assembly. The world shouldn't creep into the assembly. We find that it's the world that crucified Christ. And Galatians would remind us of our relationship to the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which I am crucified to the world and the world unto me. And so there's a separation between us and the world. The world is on street level. We're associated with an assembly that's pictured here as being an upper room. There ought not to be the flesh associated with the assembly. And I realize that the flesh always does creep in from time to time. But that's something that we ought to work on as the people of God, that the flesh has no place and no part in the assembly. That's what characterizes the world around us. It's a place that the Spirit of God should have control, and that's in contrast to the flesh. It's a place of privilege, but it's also a place of responsibility. And so it's an upper room. And so the world's ideas and the world's language and the world's ambitions and the world's pleasures and dress and morals and attitudes don't belong in a local assembly. We've been called to a higher plane. And so he was to show them a large upper room. And then we're told that it's furnished and prepared. So everything was in place as far as the suitability of that room. It was a place that there had been preparation made, and all of the furnishings required were there. And as we look through our New Testament, we see all of the teaching given to us in relation to a local assembly, and we find that it's a place of the Lord's presence. And it's a place where we can corporately worship. It's a place to be taught. A place to lay hold on the Lord in prayer. It's a place where we're to be cared for, and a place where we're able to serve. Everything is furnished and prepared, and there's possibly many other ways in which we could apply that thought, that everything is there and ready. And God has laid out for us everything that we need to know in the New Testament in relation to a local assembly that we can gather, and we need not wonder how we should do things. It's all being laid out for us. But then we have responsibility given to the disciples. The verse ends, there, make ready for us. And so there's personal responsibility in relation to the local assembly. Sometimes we can come with the idea that we're coming to get. The brethren at the assembly have a responsibility to see that my needs are met. Well, there's personal responsibility as well. It's not just a place that we come that everything's provided for us, but there is responsibility on our part to make ready. And so I would suggest that we have the thought of personal preparation. And in relation to that, there's a need for personal communion with the Lord. It's not enough for us to come to the assembly meetings and be taught. You know, it's great to come to the assembly meetings and be taught, and that ought to be what takes place. But we need to get into the Word for ourselves. And I like how Trevor encouraged his Sunday school class to read the passage for next Sunday. That's something that we all ought to do, and not just to read it, but to go over the verses, to try and glean whatever we can for ourselves out of the verses. And then when we come to the assembly Bible reading, it will have a lot more meaning for us. There's personal responsibility and personal preparation that needs to take place. There's the need for confession of sin. We need to make sure that our relationship with God as our Father, that everything is in proper order. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. First Corinthians chapter 11 will remind us in relation to the Lord's Supper of our personal responsibility. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. Not so let him stay away, but rather put things right and come to the assembly meetings. And so there's a need for knowing the Word of God personally. And so just some small pictures in relation to the local assembly, a large upper room furnished and prepared, there made ready for us. So this was the instructions that the Lord gave to His disciples. But what was their response to those instructions? Verse 16 tells us, and His disciples went forth and came to the city and found as He had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Just some simple statements that were in perfect obedience to the instructions that the Lord gave them. They simply did what He said. And really, the Christian life is, it really is quite simple. God has told us in His Word how we ought to live, how we ought to conduct ourselves, how we ought to gather to His name. And all it requires on our part is simple obedience to His Word. And you know, that's when blessing will come. And I'm sure that the disciples were, even as later in life, after the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension of Christ, as they would look back on this experience, they would have been so thankful for having gone through that with the Lord. And for us as believers today, just simple obedience to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, taking up the Word of God, will guide us to the right place. And we don't see any account here where they were led away from the upper room by this man bearing the pitcher of water, but He just guided them to the upper room. We know that from a practical standpoint, they left the upper room with the Lord and went to the Garden of Gethsemane, but the picture here is he led them to the right place. And the Spirit of God, taking up the Word of God, will lead us to the right place. And it's a place that is large. It's not a narrow, restrictive place. And it's a place that is an upper room that's above the level of the street. That's, we've been called to a much higher standard than what we see in the world around us. And I trust that there's personal exercise on the part of each one of us to make ready and to see that our own personal lives are in order and that we come to the assembly meetings prepared and for brethren prepared to participate as much as the Lord gives us ability, that we be a blessing and a help. It's not just a place to receive, but it's a place to give. And there's personal responsibility associated with it. And so just simple obedience. They went forth. They came to the city. They found as he had said unto them. What the Lord said worked out exactly as he had said it. And there they made ready the Passover. And so they enjoyed the Passover. And they enjoyed the Lord's Supper. And they enjoyed his teaching that he gave to them there in that farewell ministry on that night of his betrayal. And even though they really weren't ready for what it was before them, yet all that they received in that upper room put them in good stead for the future. And trust that these few thoughts from these few verses would be a blessing and encouragement to our hearts.